Good morning.
Good morning, Joni.
We're here with Mardell and Cindy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So this morning we're here with, we're going to talk about an exciting project with Cindy Zuluaga Jimenez. And I didn't know until just now. Somebody said, oh, you need to talk to Cindy. She's the composting queen of the valley. And now, and so just recently, I've realized that she really is the composting queen. She's been composting long before she ever even came to Haines.
Yes, that's right.
So you said your first compost pile, we were talking about it. When was your first compost pile? And I said, this is kind of like talking about your first steps or your first whatever. When was it?
Yeah, that was actually a really fun memory lane thinking. Mm-hmm. It was 2003, mm-hmm. actually, in New York. It was my first compost pile, but my family has been composting, and I grew up with that mm-hmm. mentality, and it was pretty easy to continue it on.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing you found composting to be a little different once you came to Alaska.
Yes, that is one of the challenges that we're addressing. The climate, it's the thaw and freeze cycles that we have here. And the precipitation.
Precipitation is a huge factor.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So why specifically we're talking about it today is because many of you have read in the newspaper about the Tuxedok Watershed has gotten a grant for composting, and they've hired you, right? You are actually being one of the designers and helping figure it out.
Yes, mm-hmm. yeah. It's a really exciting project. Mm-hmm. And thanks to the fantastic folks over at the Tuxedok Watershed Council and the supporting organizations, mm-hmm. The funding has been secured build and implement a community composting facility here in Haines. Mm-hmm. And we have an anticipated construction date of the spring of 2023. So next spring.
Mm-hmm. So you're already starting to work on it and make some plans and then be ready to go in the spring.
Yes. Yeah. So the design has been built, and we're now working on tweaking all the little details, the slope of the floor, how many bays there will be, and mm-hmm. the roofing, ventilation systems.
So is it going to be in an enclosed building? Is that the idea?
Or? Partly enclosed. The top areas will be open to allow for better ventilation, mm-hmm. and then the front will be open. So it will be a three-sided building.
Mm-hmm. And is that going to be out at their property?
Yes, at Jones Point.
At Jones Point.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. Nice.
And so the access, one side will be open. I'm assuming that is so that you can use a tractor or something to turn it. Is that
yeah,
the plan?
A loader would be, since the piles will be quite big, mm-hmm. We will need some machinery to allow for turning and moving the mm-hmm. piles over.
Like how big?
The piles?
Yeah. How big are these bays? I mean, just to give us an idea, are these going to be 4x4? Are they going to be 12x12 or...
I should have looked at the design, yeah. but about 12 feet
okay.
to allow lots of movement, and mm-hmm. then there would be a bay to be able to store the mm-hmm. machinery.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so what's the plan as far as getting compost out there?
You mean using it?
Yeah.
The finished product?
Do people just go there and dump their compost, or what's... Oh.
So actually, we're going to start with fishing waste and sawmill waste just to begin and to kind of see how the process works in that system. And then we're hoping a little bit, kind of starting down the line, to add food scraps.
Community waste. Yeah. So at the beginning, just to get your feet on the ground and figure out how to do it, how your systems are working, you're going to use a known entity.
That's
because
correct.
As soon as you open it up to the community, you're opening it up to another kettle of worms in terms of that's
perfect.
Appropriate
yes,
for
exactly.
compost, isn't it? But a whole nother problem set of you don't know what's coming in, because mm-hmm. somebody may say, oh no, I don't spray, but maybe a house sitter sprayed something that they didn't even know, or all sorts of scenarios.
Yeah, of course. And then food scraps have a different way of breaking down than, per se, fish waste or sawmill mm-hmm. waste. So it's one of the things we are keeping and monitoring everything to make sure it is breaking down in the correct way. Mm-hmm. So once we start with a big parent pile, we can then add more stuff to it.
And so you're starting with fish waste and sawdust, right?
Yes.
So sawdust is your carbon, because most people know, if you've been listening to the Garden Conversation, you know that you have to have nitrogen and carbon in your compost piles.
Oh, yes, yes.
And getting that ratio right is oftentimes a struggle, or that's your challenge in getting a good compost.
It is, and generally you're looking at 30-to-1 ratios of carbon to nitrogen, so you would need a lot of carbon.
And you're using sawdust for that?
Yes.
You're using the old, is the plan to use that old, already starting to compost sawdust, or are you using fresh compost, or fresh sawdust?
All sawdust.
All sawdust.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ideally, the older sawdust does break down easier, but fresh sawdust, and especially in a larger pile, will break down.
And if you're putting enough fish waste in it, enough nitrogen in it.
So community compost, large commercial composters, you're looking at piles to break down in about 80 days, which
really?
Is quite fast.
Wow.
Mine is 3 years.
And that's one of the main differences.
Yes. It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I always say that I'm not scientific about mine, which is the difference is when you are monitoring it and doing the things necessary to get it right. So how will you monitor that? If how do you, even in a how in a home compost, how do you monitor it? How do you check on it? That
so
sort of thing.
There's a variety of probes that would be inserted into the pile, temperature probes, humidity probes, and then we will be testing for carbon and nitrogen.
You can actually test for that.
You can.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are those expensive things? Do you know, I mean,
yeah, it is. It's a, you can get all the kind of fixing the chemicals for it. And then once you have all of it and you know how to do it, it's.
Right. But it's a little bit of an involved. I'm saying, oh, we could do that in a home compost, but it's probably a little involved.
And what you're talking about is a lot larger than what we would need too, probably for home composting.
But it would be, the reason I say that is because I've stood at my compost pile and said, well, it looks like it may need more carbon or more nitrogen, but I really don't have a very good sense of that. So.
And that's actually something that I feel like you develop over time. You kind of check your pile and you're able to, by the feel of it, how spongy the material's looking, you can kind of start getting to know your pile as a living entity.
Yeah. Yeah, I try not to touch mine.
Gloves are nice.
Yeah, gloves are great, yeah. And that does lead to what you've already mentioned. One of the big challenges here is the moisture content. It's going to be covered out at Tokchinuk. Is that the plan?
It will be covered. However, it will have to still be irrigated at a certain level. So you'll have to water it, per se. And then one of course, the other issues that arise is that there is leachate that comes out, which you can recycle.
And I was going to say, are you going to try to capture that leachate?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we'll have to make sure it's in a contained system.
And then that leachate is got good stuff in it, right? Can it not be used as a fertilizer sort of thing, or no?
It does. It does have good stuff, but it's very, very concentrated.
Yeah.
So if you ever apply it to just straight leachate, it will actually burn your plants.
Really?
Yeah.
So what's the plan is to put that back in or to get rid of it, or any plan for that?
We will be collecting it and probably diluting it down for a usable level, and then it could again be used into our community gardens.
Be used as a fertilizer sort of thing.
Foliar spray is really nice.
Okay. What about pests and that sort of thing? Bears, dogs.
Yeah, so eliminating the chance of any animal being in our compost facility is extremely high on the list. The perimeter will be electrified, and then we're going to add a variety of extra deterrents. We will get critter getters around.
And so people know what critter getters are, the things that make loud noises. They've got a sonar thing, and so they can sense when an animal walks in front of them, and they make this horrendously loud noise.
So loud. And of course, I've been in contact with various other community composting facilities in the lower 48 and in Alaska. And one of the things that works pretty well, apparently, is just playing music.
Really? Wow.
There you go.
Rock out.
So there will have to be a test and a study done of whether classical music has a different effect than hip hop or
heavy metal.
Heavy metal, yeah. Interesting. Okay. And this reminds me, this is on my list to get Skagway composting. Skagway has a composting project and are a little bit further ahead. They've been working on it. And so it's on my list to get them on for a garden conversation. So Skagwegians, be listening for that. So then the plan is the finished compost. What's the dream?
The dream is to provide it back to the community for soil health. We're hoping with this program to add to our soil health and add to the resiliency of our food system. So that is kind of the dream of composting and its final product. We will be looking at adding various mixes of compost, so a raised bed mix, a top layer mix, perhaps for farms that want to increase their fertility in their soil. And then one thing I like to do is a composty mulch, which is perfect for established beds, perennial beds.
Putting that on top, exactly. So as kind of a weed mat, but having a value as well as for a weed mat.
Exactly. So when you talk about community garden, are you talking about the one by the school there?
Yes, that's a good one, and that's they're actually doing composting right now from the school and from a few community members.
Nice. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so a grant is usually got an end to, you said that. So my understanding is this particular grant is actually for the building of the composter.
Yeah, for the design, build, and implementation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so then the idea is to eventually have enough compost to sell it, and so hopefully making it a self-sustaining process.
That's correct. Yes.
Uh-huh. That's the idea of it. So it sounds like you're actually going to do some of the work for us of doing mixes so that we don't even have to figure out how to do a potting soil mix or a topsoil mix or
whatnot. Yeah. Well, just leave that up to me and I'll put it all together and you guys do the best thing that you do, which is raise all these beautiful gardens.
Yeah, great. We will be happy. And the thing is that I'm always nervous when I buy something from the store that you really don't know what's in it. And there is a pretty constant supply of stories of people getting stuff in composts and potting soil mixes that once you get them in your garden, it can be a while to get them out. So
hundreds of years sometimes. And for sure, that is one of the things that we will be screening for, pesticide, grass clippings, fertilizer. Sometimes some synthetic fertilizer in itself is a dangerous chemical. So.
Which is the challenge of doing a community. Certainly, and I'm not saying can't be done, but it's a challenge of doing community waste is not being able to ascertain what is coming in. But so exciting to have the possibility of a locally made. We've got the supplies.
Yes, we do.
And so it's exciting to think that it's actually going to happen here, and we'll have access to it. So
I can't wait.
Yeah.
So when is groundbreaking on that facility?
Spring 2023, then we will have about a soft opening to make sure that we have our big parent pile started and all the microbes are nice and working in there before we start adding more. So hopefully by the summer we'll be up and running, fully operational.
Oh, how nice. What a thing to look forward to.
And just a personal interest question, is there going to be any sifting? Do community compost sift? Is that what
they
do?
Yes. There is a variety of ways to do it. Since at the end of the day you have so much material, you'll need an electrified sifting.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll get nice, fine, black, gold dirt.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Well, Cindy, we'll have to have you back on another time to talk about some of your the flower farm that you have. So next spring, we're going to talk about pollinators in Cindy's flower farm.
Fun. Yeah.
We didn't have time to get to it. We always run out of time. So thank you so much for coming and talking about this. And I look forward to hearing more about it as it happens.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Happy gardening, everyone.
Yeah, well, happy dreaming about gardening, everyone.
Exactly.
Happy composting.
You can compost whether you're gardening or not.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much to Cindy and Mardell for coming in here for the Garden Conversation, which is heard every Thursday morning here on your community radio station, KHNS, Haines, Klukwan, and Skagway.